Thank you, Larry. It is an honor to be here. I welcome the crowd that's here because I know you all have a forgiving and understanding heart. I know that you know me well enough to understand that each time I stand here, I say I had difficulties. And again, I did. I tell you that there hasn't been a song today or a scripture read that there hasn't been a message in it that could pull me in any direction. And that's been the struggle to put this together, was I felt like I was being pulled in many directions. So, bear with me. I will, with the Lord's help, have a point. Going to start with the reading out of John chapter 12. Starting at the 44th verse. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me." Do you believe that? Is that the way you view Jesus Christ? As the messenger that God sent for us. When you believe and see Jesus Christ's words, are you seeing that it's a message from God that he's carried here according to God's plan? "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Verse 47, "And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." He is our Savior. He is the one we look to as our, as the intercession to God, and to take care of those sins that we have and that we come before him to repent of. Too often, I think about things in life. There are things in my life that I have to work hard at every day to not fall trap to. And one of those is anger and strife and hatred. You know, I often use, when I'm talking to some of the young people and they talk about how people treat them badly, and I like to bring up that scripture where the Jews are about to stone the woman who committed adultery. It was against their law, and they were about to commit adultery. And Jesus said nothing to them. He simply wrote in the dust, "He without sin cast the first stone." And when he raised his head, who was there? The woman who committed the sin. Right? Well, I like to use that in my life, because too often something happens in our life and we become angry and we want to react to it. Well, this world is filled with that hatred and that anger and that strife. And we have to keep ourselves from that. Galatians. I may or may not use all of these scriptures. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I think the last time I spoke here, I covered some of the other things in this list. But I was impressed over the last week or so that there's hatred in this church. There is anger and there is strife within this church. And I don't say that in a general way. I say that as being witness to both or all. And I feel like I must impress upon you that these are things that we must watch for, that we must keep from our lives, that we must share with our loved ones that they should not have in their lives. The opposition to those things which are listed there are the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. I've got a list here. I've got the definition of hatred and anger and envy and strife, and I don't need to read those to you. I can give you an example of envy and strife, or if you want, anger and strife go together. Anger is an emotion. Strife is carrying out that emotion. In other words, taking your anger and acting upon it. Our politics today are filled from end to end with strife. There's hatred thrown in there too, but that strife where we are being divided as a country, we are being made to choose one side or the other because they will not accept that they disagree with the other side and that maybe they need to work together through humility or the fruit, the Spirit. They don't believe in those things, so their path is way off. But that is a great example of the strife that we deal with daily, especially this time of year. You've got an ad for this side that says this, and this guy is bad because of this, and then the other side, they come back and say, well, this is, you know, it's ridiculous. They should focus on our welfare, not whose dog is on top of the car or who did this or who did that. The stupidness of the whole thing brings about childish anger and strife. And that's what's in the world today. Careless acts of sin. In James chapter 3, little book always gets stuck right on the last page of Hebrews. James chapter 3, starting at the 6th verse. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame it. Tame, it is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith we curse. Therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. How can we be filled with anger and strife and hatred and at the same time bless and praise our Heavenly Father? Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him shew out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Carrying out a strife. Being angry is one thing. I will admit to you, I get angry. I pack things away. That's why I have to work at it. I pack little things away until it pops, and then I'm angry. It's an emotion. We all have it. We are all there. But as we carry it out through that envy and that strife, where we deny the meekness and the humility that God wants us to have, that's where the sin is. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Those things in which we take upon us, that anger and that strife and that envy, God didn't give those to us. Those are our own carnal nature that we act upon those. If they're a blessing to you, it's an earthly blessing. That's what that says. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. When I speak of an example of that hatred that I've witnessed within the church, it really comes back to that hypocrisy. When you worship God, but yet you have Wendy and I talked about this a little bit when I was trying to put this together. If you picture two seeds, and we all know the seed of faith, right? That seed of faith, it's just so small. Within that seed of faith, you have mercy and grace and peace and humility and the fruits of the Spirit. Well, in the other seed, it's of the equal size. But within it, there's hatred, lasciviousness, there's lust and anger and hypocrisy and everything that's listed. Everything that's listed according to the arm of the flesh. And if you were one person, could you nurture both of those equally? No. You You must choose according to the Spirit. You must choose one or the other. If there were two of you, and one of you each took a seed, and you both nurtured them equally, which one's going to grow faster? They'll both grow equally. We can nurture those things that our adversary gives to us, and they'll grow just as fast as our faith will if we nurture our faith. Two sides, good and evil, cannot come from the same source. We can't be filled with hatred, anger, wrath, strife, and still expect to be spotless. 1 Timothy. Chapter 6. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. Anyone who serves, be not hateful, be thankful, be humble. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words. If we're not living in the Spirit, if we're not learning in the Spirit, if we're not teaching the Spirit, it's one of those vain things that we have in our lives that we must learn to put away. Wherefore cometh envy, strife, railing, evil surmisings? It's that slothful person. That uncaring person. It's the doorway to our adversary entering our lives and nurturing that seed. That seed of hatred, that seed of sin. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyselves. But godliness with content is great. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. What did you have when you came into this world? Absolutely nothing. Goodly parents. Didn't have a stitch of clothes on. How are you going out of this world? Without anything with you. You're taking your soul to stand before God. Be content in the Lord. No need to envy or fight others for what they have or what they believe. Some might think I'm talking about tolerance. I'm not a big proponent of the word tolerant. Because it's overused. We live in a PC world. You have to be politically correct. Is God tolerant of us and our sins? No. One of my favorite scriptures tells us that He leaves us to our own. He's not tolerant of us. He walks away from us. He's not going to tolerate us just denying His love and His mercy and His kindness. But He never leaves us. He's always there when we have that proper heart. I wrote here, Jesus was serving God as we should serve God. That is true. That is our duty, is to serve God. We have the knowledge, and we should be serving God, not Satan. 2 Nephi, page 83. Starting at the 71st verse. Wherefore redemption cometh in and through the Holy Messiah, for he is full of grace and truth. Behold, he offereth himself a sacrifice for sin to answer the ends of the law unto all those which have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and unto none else can the ends of the law be answered. Wherefore, how great the importance to make these things known unto the inhabitants of the earth, that they may know that there is no flesh that can dwell in the presence of God, save it be through the merits and mercy and grace of the Holy Messiah. Think how great those merits are. Think how great the mercy is that Jesus Christ had for us. He knew, yes, faith, he knew the entire time that he walked this earth in the flesh, that he would sacrifice his life for our sins. Don't you think you owe him your life to be filled with those same merits, mercy, and grace that he gave to you? Page 115, 40th verse. Therefore, cheer up your hearts and remember that ye are free to act for yourselves, to choose the way of everlasting death or the way of eternal life. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, reconcile yourselves to the will of God and not to the will of the devil in the flesh. And remember that after ye are reconciled unto God, that it is only in and through the grace of God that ye are saved. Wherefore may God raise you from death by the power of the resurrection, and also from everlasting death by the power of the atonement, that ye may be received into the eternal kingdom of God, that ye may praise him through grace divine. That is our goal, right? Those of us who have committed to that baptism, to that covenant that we have made with Jesus Christ, who is filled with mercy. God's grace that he would give to us his Son to save us from our sins, not to condemn us, but to save us from our sins. It's amazing that you made a covenant. Stay away from the world and the anger and the strife and the hatred. Helaman chapter 2, page 560. I'm going to read 106 through 116. And it came to pass that the Lamanites said unto him, What shall we do that this cloud of darkness may be removed from overshadowing us? Do you have a cloud of darkness that overshadows you? I don't think so, but we each have those things in our lives that will be that cloud of darkness over us that we must work and. Just like I said, I struggle every day. I have to watch myself every day. And Aminadab saith unto them, You must repent and cry unto the voice, even until ye shall have faith in Christ, which was taught unto you by Alma and Amulek and Zeezrom. And when ye shall do this, the cloud of darkness shall be removed from overshadowing you. And it came to pass that they all did begin to cry unto the voice of him which had shook the earth. Yea, they did cry even until the cloud of darkness was dispersed, praying constantly. Every moment that something pops up in your life that just doesn't seem right, immediately start praying. We must pray from morning till night, never ceasing. And it came to pass that when they cast their eyes about and saw that the cloud of darkness was dispersed from overshadowing them, and behold, they saw that they were encircled about, yea, every soul by a pillar of fire. That Holy Ghost, that Holy Spirit, God has blessed them. He has sent it down upon them. And Nephi and Lehi were in the midst of them. Yea, they were encircled about. Yea, they were as if in the midst of a flaming fire. Yet it did harm them not. Neither did it take hold upon the walls of the prison. And they were filled with that joy which is unspeakable and full of glory. And behold, the Holy Spirit of God did come down from heaven and did enter into their hearts. And they were filled as if with fire, and they could speak forth marvelous words. And it came to pass that there came a voice unto them, yea, a pleasant voice, as if it were a whisper, saying, peace, peace be unto you, because of your faith in my well-beloved, which was from the foundation of the world. And now when they heard this, they cast up their eyes as if to behold from whence the voice came. And behold, they saw the heavens open, and angels came down out of the heaven and ministered unto them. And there were about 300 souls which saw and heard these things, and they were bid to go forth and marvel not, neither should they doubt. And it came to pass that they did go forth and did minister unto the people, declaring throughout all the regions round about all the things which they had heard and seen, insomuch that the more part of the Lamanites were convinced of them because of the greatness of the evidence which they had received. And as many as were convinced did lay down their weapons of war, and also their hatred and the tradition of their fathers. That's our job. We stand clear of that hatred, and we have the Holy Spirit within us, that fire that should take us out into the world, that should keep us and help us to purify our conversation with others. That joy is something that we each need to have within us, that we each need to share with each other. The conversion, the baptism today, that was wonderful. That testimony today. Our sister, our young sister, went to college last year. And things, what did I just read? The envy, the strife, those things bring about confusion. And that's what I perceived from her testimony, that there was something in her life that brought about confusion. And she called on the Lord. And He told her and showed her the way. And she was baptized today. She received the Holy Spirit. She was there. Her family was. It was beautiful. As every baptism is. That's joy. That's the conversion. That's putting on that unity that we each need. Page 260. Chapter 9, verse 52 through 54. And he commanded them that they should teach nothing save it were the things which he had taught, and which had been spoken by the mouth of the holy prophets. Yea, even commanded them that they should preach nothing save it were repentance and faith on the Lord, who hath redeemed his people. And he commanded them that there should be no contention one with another, but that they should look forward with one eye, having one faith and one baptism, having their hearts knit together in unity and in love one towards another. Unity. First, when I first became a member of this church, my biggest concern was, how am I going to be like Jesus Christ? I can't be perfect. Now I see I can be. Not that I am, but the goal is to be Christ-like, to be blameless, to be spotless. But a concern that I have now as a minister is our unity as a body. If we don't have unity in the commandments, the example of Christ that he gave to us, not one of us will see Zion or the glory of heaven. Or some of us will and some of us won't. But there's not one soul here that I would not miss if I were allowed in Zion or in the glory of God's presence. I'd want to see each and every one of you. And when I see the world beating against us, and I see within the body the things that I've seen, it's a concern I have. And I think it's a valid concern. Colossians 3. Sorry if this is a repeat from earlier. My brother used it. I did back out a couple of things that my brother used today that I had written down. I always have extra scriptures. Colossians 3, starting at the 12th verse. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Be thankful for what you have. Don't look at what somebody else has and be envious. Because you disagree with someone, it's no reason to be angry. God is willing to forgive us of anything and everything when we come to Him with the right heart. Don't you think you need to offer that to your brethren, your neighbor? Christ Himself said, love thy neighbor. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Treat others as you desire to be treated. Forget the hatred. Get the facts and leave all the rest to the kids who want to play the games. Because you don't want to play games. God loves you and He wants you. I want to be with you in heaven. I want to be with you in Zion. I'll pray for you and I hope you pray for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Rusty.